So I'm going to ask a question, and that is, what does love mean? A group of professional people posed this question to a group of 4 to 8-year-olds. What does love mean? The answers they got were broader and deeper than anyone could have imagined. So see what you think. Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. How about Billy, age 4? When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Here's another one. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Uh-huh. Out of the mouths of children, huh? Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. And here's a good one. During my piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at people, all the people watching me, and I saw my dad waving at me and smiling. He was the only one doing that. And I wasn't scared anymore. Just a couple more. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. That's Jessica, age 8. Tonight, I wanted to share on not just what does love mean, but that love is more than just a word. You know, love is an action. Someone once said it's the dynamic living embodiment of the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's been said that love is the rhythm of giving that sets the beat of our collective heart. I remember saying once that love is the oil that makes the one body of Christ run smooth. It really is music in motion. And so when we really act out of love, and that's the cool thing about love, it's not just a thing that, I don't know, there's two words, static and another word. Somebody will think of it. But love is in action. Somebody once said love is giving. Love is an action. It's a verb. And when we act out of love, we are in a position to just freely give of ourselves. God is the ultimate giver, right? And his nature that it talks about throughout the Bible, but especially in 1 John, says God is what? God is love. God doesn't have to be loving because it's just the nature of who God is. He cannot act outside of love. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we don't have to go there right this second, but it says that we, those of us who are born again, children of God, sons of God, whatever, we're partakers of the divine nature. So what does that mean? That means a lot of things, really, but we've been given that spirit nature. We've been given the ability to love like God loves. And that is huge. And so, do you ever find yourself asking the question, what is love? A lot of times you ask it because you're unsure if you are loved or if you're really, truly capable of even loving others. But you know what this really is? It's a call to action. It's a nudge from God, a whisper from God, a indicator from God to take action. One of the greatest ways to get outside of yourself is by doing something for somebody else, by giving. by giving, by living within the framework of the love of God. You know what that breaks us free from? The burden of self, of having to think so much about our problems, ourselves, our issues, our this and that. We break free of that because we can give like God did. I want to read tonight two records in the Bible. One will start in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. This is a unique record where Jesus is kind of being challenged to by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people in that culture. And in Luke 10, 25, in the New International Version, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus by saying, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Love is more than just a word. Love is action. Love takes a step to bring God's kindness, God's goodness, God's grace, and especially God's mercy into fruition. And we can be extenders of that grace as we walk. And we can be extenders of that mercy. People may deserve judgment, but God in his grace and love and kindness withholds that which we do deserve and bestows upon us things so freely that we don't deserve. So in a practical way, God would have us to do those very same things, to walk in love. And love is giving. Love is action. Love is taking, having compassion in situations, or maybe another person might just walk on by. Love is more than just a word. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 2. This is the second section of the scripture that we're going to go to. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I'll be reading from the Contemporary English Version, a wonderful translation. And sometimes you get more flavor of kind of the heart of what's being said. Obviously, the apostles, Paul, Jesus, these people did not speak King James English. And so sometimes it's helpful to read in other translations. And you don't want to sacrifice the accuracy of it either. And that's part of the reason you compare. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In the past you were dead because you sinned and fought against God. you followed the ways of this world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world, and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and of our minds. We had made God angry, and we were going to be punished like everyone else. That we can thank Adam for, because we were born with a sin nature. But thank God, verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. Vicki should say it out loud right now.
But God.
And this version says, but God was merciful. God withheld that judgment and that punishment which we so richly deserve. But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins. But God loved us so much. He made us alive with Christ, and God's gift of undeserved grace is what saves you. It's what saves me. It's what saves any Christian person. God raised us from death to life with Jesus Christ, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. God did this so in the future world he could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Christ Jesus has done. It is no longer about you. It is no longer about me. It is who we are in the finished work and accomplishments of Jesus Christ and whom God has created us to be in him. Now, he's got great things for us to do. We'll read about this in just a moment. But he's so good. He's so kind. One person said, it'll take all of eternity for God just to show and display his kindness towards us. Are we worthy? No, we and ourselves are not worthy. But Jesus made us worthy. He was that one who bridged the gap between God and man. He paid the price. He was the ultimate sacrifice. How about a great example of love? Is giving. Love in action. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2. You are saved by faith in God who treats us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you and not anything you have done on your own. It isn't something you've earned, so there's nothing you can brag about. Verse 10. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Christ, to make us what we are. We have been so blessed, so privileged, privileged, I guess, is the word, in just the right place at the right time, guys, because you know what? Some of those kids were kind of right in what they said, because love just does not have a lot of conditions on it. Now, that's the thing about a child. Their hearts are just so innocent and so pure, see? And I just love that. So we should remember that love is an action. It's more than just a word, see? You could say, I love this, I love that, I love this person and that, but then treat them horribly, see? That doesn't really make sense. And so think about it that love is the rhythm of giving. Love is the rhythm of giving. And when it's done in such a godly and wonderful way, it does bring harmony. It does bring music. It does make the one body of Christ really run smooth. It makes any relationship run smoothly and just get even better and better and better. So, like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, God says, be imitators of God and do what? Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. How do I do that? Well, that will be determined by you and God working together. And remember, love is more than just a word. Love is you believing in what Christ has accomplished for you and loving yourself with that kind of love, and then spreading the wealth, giving it away, giving it away. And in that process, we are so blessed and just are even reminded that much more about how much we truly do have to be thankful for. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have in this life. This is quite a journey. And every day is a fresh start, a new beginning. Actually, every moment of every day is a new beginning. I pray that we can grow in our application of knowing you, Father, and just we really are just the most loving people that this world has ever seen. And it's just so refreshing and just brings health and wholeness and healing into any situation that we're in. So thank you, God, for working with us, helping us, loving us, Father, and just allowing us to be fruitful in the things that we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.